The words of our text this morning are taken from 2 Samuel chapter 7. Due to the length of the text, I'm going to just read the first three verses now, and then I'll treat the remainder of the verses in the body of the sermon. We read, "After the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, 'Here I am, living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent.' Nathan replied to the king, 'Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you.'" So far our text, and we pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear colleagues, friends, guests that are here, and especially you students. Students, we are so pleased as faculty and staff to have you back on campus. And one thing that all of you have in common, whether it is your first semester on campus or you're a returning student, is you're all preparing for your futures. You all have plans for your lives, and at the moment, Bethany is part of those plans. I'm confident that your plans are good plans, healthy plans, reasonable, and that they align with your God-given gifts and talents. And while you may have plans, I think we can all relate to the fact that sometimes plans don't turn out, do they? Even healthy ones, God-pleasing ones. So in our devotion this morning, especially as we start a new semester and you're planning for your futures, let's take a look at what God's Word reveals to us when our plans, even good plans, don't turn out. In those moments, what is God teaching us? Can we still place our confidence and trust in God when we maybe are disappointed or don't understand his plan? So we'll look at an example from the life of King David. Now, he lived 3,000 years ago. And while that's a long time ago, what we'll see in our devotion is that even though it pertains to his life, it very much personally relates to our lives today. So a little background on David. You'll recall he was the one anointed by God, by God's prophet Samuel, to become the next king over Israel to replace Saul, the first king of Israel, who had fallen away from God. And while David was the king of Israel, he was certainly far from perfect. Yet we can see from the many psalms that he wrote that he was a follower of God. You see it in the way he states his trust in God and the way he talks about his desire to return to God for forgiveness of his sins. So the words that we've read so far reveal to us that David had a plan to build God a house, a chapel, a temple. Very noble plan, not selfish by any means. And we see that David had his heart in the right place, and Nathan the prophet agrees. So now let's see what God's plan is, verses 4 through 7. But that night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with the tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?'" So God's plan is no. That's not what's going to happen, David. You're not going to build me a house. So while David wanted to do something good for God, God's plan that he wanted to do something much bigger for David and for all of us. So the point that we can learn is that good plans are not always God's plans. You ever had a good plan not quite work out? Maybe Bethany wasn't your first choice for college. Maybe you've already changed your major. Maybe a sport or activity that you've wanted to be involved in hasn't quite worked out. In the future, you'll be making plans for marriage and family, children, how you want your life to look. When plans don't work out, sometimes people can feel as if God doesn't care or that he's absent from us. In those faith-challenging moments, remember, God loves us. So it's interesting to see what God does next with David. Let's take a look at verses 8 and 9. "This is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you." So in revealing his plan for David, God first reminds him of everything he's done for him to that point. God reminds him of his faithfulness. God says to us when we're going through challenging times to remember his faithfulness, how he's abundantly cared for us, guided us, and blessed us. And he's certainly not going to stop now or in our futures. It's kind of like parents and children. Sometimes children have plans for more ice cream, more screen time, certain friends, certain purchases. And children don't always get a why when a parent says that those are not going to be the plans. Know that at those times, God's love for you doesn't change. A loving God can say no and still be a loving God. So why did God say no to David's plan? Verses 11 through 13. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. So God tells David that the fulfillment of his plan is that David's son Solomon will be king and will be the one who will build a temple for God. And then we have the final verses of our text, very beautiful, comforting verses that are not just a promise for David's son Solomon, but for all of us, a promise of a coming king. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod wielded by men, with floggings inflicted by human hands. But my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. So what God is saying, David, you wanted to build me a house. I want to build the line of your family. My plan, God says, is I want your ancestor to be on the throne forever. Now, if you know the history of Israel, that makes no human sense. 500 years later, the people of Israel are being punished in captivity in Babylon, and David's line is not on the throne. So what's with all this forever stuff? Well, it was God's plan. 1,000 years after David, when the kingdom of Israel no longer existed because now they're ruled by the Roman Empire, an angel appeared to a teenager named Mary and told her these words in Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. The Lord God will give him, the baby Mary, the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. The Bible reveals that baby is Jesus, king over all in heaven. So full picture, David wanted to build something for God. God wanted to build something for David and for all of us. This is God's undeserved love for us. God certainly deserves a temple. He deserves our entire devotion. But our relationship with God is not about us. Thanks be to God. It starts with God graciously giving us what we need the most, a Savior from sin, Jesus. the one who'd be our eternal king by substituting his perfect life for ours and by taking on our sins for us and paying the punishment for our sins through his own suffering and death in our place, so that by faith in him, we may live eternally in his kingdom in heaven. So plans may not always work out, and we may wonder why, but know that God loves you, he's with you, and he's faithful. And he's already said yes to our greatest needs, forgiveness, a relationship with him, and a home in heaven. And students, that's why I'm so glad that you're here at Bethany, where every day you have the opportunity to study God's word and the assurances he provides us in his promises. May the Holy Spirit fill each of us with zeal to gladly hear and study his word, so that our faith may be strengthened all of our days until the end. Amen. Let's pray. Please stand. Thank you, dear Father in heaven. How blessed we are to by your faithfulness. When our plans for life don't always work out as we had hoped, and when we can't understand your will for us, help us to always place our trust in you and in your faithfulness. Help us to always keep our focus on you and the eternal kingdom you've won for us through your Son, Jesus. For his sake, bless each of us, and especially our students this year, and continue to bless the mission of our churches and Christian schools, of Bethany Lutheran College and Seminary, and those who serve them. Amen. We continue with the final verses of the hymn.
Thank you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen.